Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I want to kiss you more. More, more, more. I want to kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody. Scott Patterson, I Am All In podcast, 111 Productions, iHeartRadio, iHeartMedia, iHeart podcast. And this is the RSV edition of the podcast. We're all sick. Except, I think all of us are sick.
Wait, who is anyone not sick? Tara's not here.
I'm not sick.
Oh, you guys aren't sick. I thought you were sick.
No.
All right, so it's just you and me, Amy.
Just we're both Scott and I. First of all, I sound a little better than how gross I sounded last week. But yeah, I've got RSV. I'm doing good with it, but it lingers. That thing lingers. I've had it for 18 days.
We have episode 21, season 6, Driving Emily Gilmore.
Really?
And a rollicking affair it was, wasn't it?
Really good.
What do you mean, Miss Gilmore?
It was, I changed the title. I said Emily.
Oh, okay.
What did you think of it?
I changed the title.
Overall, guys.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It didn't really have a flaw.
Yeah. It's really good.
I have to laugh because my opinion is always so different than everyone.
Wait, what you hated it?
I did not like this episode.
What? What? I can't wait to hear why. Tell us a little why.
A little why is I felt like the storylines were like just really melodramatic and unrealistic, and some of the acting was a little overdone.
I agree with a little over the top with the Suki and Jackson, and a little over the top with
that's
Emily.
The only part I liked.
Oh God, that's funny. Emily's a little.
Suzanne's waiting to counter anything we like.
Oh my God, seriously,
it's really funny how my opinion is always different. Even like the very first time I was on the podcast, I don't even remember what the episode was. But you guys all hated it, and it was one of my favorites. I'm not even sure what it was now, but
wasn't Vineyard
My
Mountain
brain just time. Works differently.
Wait, that's so interesting. I can't wait to hear what you... We'll just go through it, because I want to hear what you liked and didn't like. May I say my favorite thing of the whole episode really fast, though?
Mm-hmm.
That was real rain, and I was into it. It was really cool that it was really raining.
I noticed that, too. I did like that.
It did not get on the camera lens, which I thought was impressive, but it was definitely raining.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty rad. I'm not sure it was fun to film, but it was really rad to watch.
Well, anything that causes the temperature to go down a little bit is a welcome on that set, you know.
Yeah, when did this air, Danielle?
It aired on May 2nd, 2006.
So May 2nd, when would you have filmed it? March?
I don't know.
Something like that. You're usually like a month ahead, a little more, a month and a half.
Who knows?
Pretty legit.
All right, so we started out Friday Night Dinner, which is pretty hysterical.
You're not going to synopsize?
Oh, geez. God, I'm sick. I'm sorry. I have RSV.
I don't know if you have RSV, but you should get tested.
I have something, but go ahead, synopsis. I'm so sorry.
Susan, I'm going to let you do it because my crown was kind of taken away last week. So I'm just going to.
Oh, yeah. Amy and Suzanne, we're having a better week.
Okay, this is season 6, episode 21, Driving Miss Gilmore. It aired on May 2nd, 2006, as we just established.
Sweeps.
After getting LASIK surgery, Emily enlists Lorelai's help as her driver and companion, finally revealing a big surprise that catches Lorelai completely off guard. Meanwhile, Rory takes charge of Logan's recovery when he is released from the hospital.
Cute, but I'm ready for that facial hair to go on Logan.
Well, we have, we have spaghetti and meatballs causing the Lorelai and Rory to regress, behaviorally speaking.
I loved part of that scene and thought it was stupid at the same time.
But that's when Gilmore is at its best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when
it's light, silly comedy.
And the writing, the script, whatever, however you say it, was amazing. All the things that they were saying. Yeah. I just was like, who's taking away someone's dinner?
You're nuts. You're double nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So good. It was so good.
And then I heard Herman comes in and they keep doing the joke. Well, it must be the spaghetti.
Am I wrong that we hadn't seen him in a couple episodes?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I was so happy.
Suzanne, did you like that? Because we like that. Did you like Ed Herman showing up or did you hate it?
No, it was good. I thought it was cute. I thought the whole thing with Lorelai like waving her fork around, she would never have done that at Emily's table. Like, I think that was where I was like, that's a little over the top, but it was funny. I definitely was laughing.
Yeah, but the spaghetti and meatballs makes them regress into a childlike state.
And what about the Rory Gilmore Library, the Rory Gilmore Astronomy Center, I was quickly doing the math. I'm like, are they giving $1 million? It feels like they're giving $1 million.
To dedicate an entire building?
It's got to be more than that.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more like $5-10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know? And then Lorelai says, forget about it, Rory. They're bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was good. It was totally cute.
It was a good opener. Absolutely a good opener. All right. And then we go to, we find out that Emily is she changes subject. She's having LASIK surgery with an extremely handsome doctor. And this makes...
Did you
this guys? Makes Ed Herman a little jealous, a little tad jealous.
Did you guys hear the shout out to Dr. Sugarman?
Yes. Sugarman?
Yes, I did. So Dr. Sugarman was not the eye doctor, but he's the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And here's what's crazy. Not related, but there is a very famous Dr. Sugarman in LA that is an ear, nose, and throat doctor. So I don't know if it was a tip of the hat to the real Dr. Sugarman whose clients could be on the show.
Huh. Well, let's get him on. Let's grill him.
Actually,
it's not a bad idea.
Especially with everyone's RSV.
Not a bad idea.
Magic Johnson's also going around promoting the RSV vaccine. If anyone cares, we could maybe have Magic.
Oh, well, now I'm definitely taking it.
If you have Magic.
Geez, I'll take 4. She's doing it.
I did laugh at the handsome doctor and the like Dr. Marcus Welby, which I'm sure we'll talk about in pop culture, but
so then they talk about, then Emily is up to her old tricks again, that they sat down with Christopher, invited him to the country club.
Now that was interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It was, right?
Because it would have been concerning if not for the end of the episode where you're like, because at first you're like, oh, what's happening?
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You're like, why are you hanging out with Christopher? But then we got the payoff.
And I won't say it, but I think it should be acknowledged. Knowing what comes makes it that much more interesting. But yet, I don't think they had ulterior motives.
Oh, I do.
Of course they did.
But then you do. You got, okay, talk to me.
Of course they do.
I even wrote that in my notes. I wrote ulterior motive.
Okay, talk about it.
Well, let's talk about it when we get to the end, because that's
okay,
where,
fine.
That's,
fair enough.
That's
fine,
where
fine,
my fine, call sure. out is.
Okay.
All right, so we'll put a pin in that. They talked the Yale donation. We've been through that. All right, so now they're at the hospital. Logan's in a wheelchair. He's being released from the hospital. Rory is really mothering him. What do we feel about this thing?
Cute.
Yeah, right?
I did not like her outfit.
Yeah, I'm with you, Suzanne. It was cute for a second, and then it just, the whole.
She just was so ridiculous about every little thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought she was really over the top. And then she's like, oh, I cut off a little old lady so that we could, so I could get a good parking place. And
I mean, he did get pretty dang hurt. It's not like he just had a little something.
Right. But I don't know, if the doctor says, you know, get out of bed and move around. And then she's like, I don't think that doctor knows what he's talking about. Like, well, why do you know what?
I thought there was a little sarcasm with that.
I don't know. I didn't. It was just a little too much for me. Although I did like when Logan asked the doctor, he said, can I be discharged to your house?
Yeah, that was funny. I will say I did not like Rory's outfit, and she wears it for an endlessly long amount of time in this episode. And I did not care for that. I literally wrote, no thanks. I did not like that outfit. But I thought the kiss was cute. I think they're cute. I think it's cute to see her caretaking and really caring. And I would be paranoid if my boyfriend had those injuries. Mm-hmm. I might be a little over the top myself, but just say, who cares?
All right. We're going to go to the dragonfly now.
Michelle.
Michelle is freaking out because he just found out that he's ingested too many calories.
Can you imagine if during the whole episode we had to like exercise? Like, I'm Suzanne, not sure I could do it.
Suzanne, I bet you this scene bothered you more than any other scene because it was so over the top, right?
Danielle, keep dancing.
Not more than any other scene, because there are some scenes that bother me more.
Right.
Although I watched the episode twice last night because I'm like, I got to find something to like about this episode. And it did kind of grow on me a little bit. I thought it was kind of cute. And I actually, you know, shout out to Yannick Truesdale, who had to keep doing that through those long takes. So
it's hard. You run out of moves after a while.
No, what else can you do? You just do this.
Danielle and
this.
Scott and I are sort of trying to run in place and do moves.
I'm sick. I can't run.
First of all, I couldn't hear anything Suzanne was saying.
I could barely do this. She was making some salient points.
Like Danielle said, I was trying so hard to figure out, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? Suzanne, do you mind just saying that all again?
No, I thought, I didn't think it was that bad. I watched it twice and it kind of grew on me the second time. So I didn't hate it, but it was kind of over the top.
The takeaway for me, though, is you realize she's blowing Luke off. And I'm like, what's going on?
And also, I did you understand a thing that Michelle was saying?
No, I had to turn the titles on.
I couldn't. The accent was so thick, I couldn't understand.
Yeah. Well, because he was running.
Understood the milk situation. He thought he was drinking fat-free and it was full fat or something
and,
like that.
And what 2%. About, the Lorelei diss. To Luke, it's like, you know, creating some space there.
It's just so weird. She's not only is she blowing him off, she's lying.
She's lying.
She has a staff meeting and she doesn't have a staff meeting. And I'm not clear on.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like how she involves Suki and Michelle in that, you know.
And
like,
also, why? Yeah. Why did we go to this? I understand we left off with like a lot of angst, right? Because Anna will not accept her and Anna has yelled at Luke.
Do you think in her mind she, and I mean, we can talk about this a little bit later, but she is acknowledging it's not working.
Yeah,
and doesn't
I think
want to
she's
face
given
him.
Up at this point. This is one of the reasons I didn't like this episode, is this is now the seventh or eighth episode. It's like Groundhog Day. I'm like watching the same thing over and over. Luke is completely oblivious and Lorelai's feelings are hurt, but she won't stand up and tell him how she's feeling.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of bored with it at this point. And I feel like now in this episode, we see like after the whole birthday party thing where, you know, she made this winning party for Luke and then she still gets her hand slapped. I think like she's just given up. She's like, okay, I'm done. He's done.
But he's not done, and he's never given any indication of being done. She's frustrated.
He's never had any conversation with her about it either. Like, he has said nothing to her to kind of reassure her. Mm. And so she ends every episode upset and sad. Mm-hmm. And now we see that she's just throwing in the towel.
Yeah.
Again, she's not doing it in a healthy way, because avoiding him is not the right way to do it.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Here's the dilemma. I think the dilemma for the writers is this, that, and I kind of figured out what's coming, and it's the bad thing, right? It's, yeah. So I kind of figured that out. I haven't seen it.
Oh no.
But I kind of, there's a little badonkadonk going on there. It's going to be bad. So if they, the bad thing's going to happen next episode, I think, right? So,
do I need to take off my headphones?
No, he doesn't know either. He's just thinking
I'm speculating. I'm just speculating.
Sure.
I think they're setting us up for this. And I think the writers are intentionally, you know, if they make Luke too sympathetic, or these two about to reconcile and there's a big understanding, then the bad thing can't happen. So it's like, how do you get to the bad thing? Right, you have to create, however sloppily we claim it's being done, or it's redundant, and it's like, all right, already, they got to get Lorelai into the bad thing. Somehow justify that's why it's happened, because these two are so far apart and they're not communicating, right? So how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what you're saying. I do, Suzanne, I do understand what you're saying, but so maybe what you're saying is they could have done this a little better.
Yeah, like as a viewer, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but the scene in the bar where Luke is talking to TJ, mm-hmm. and he's talking about Liz, but like I feel like the writers are toying with the viewers. It's like they put Luke in a position where he's trying to explain, you know, she's really talking to herself.
Oh my God, I wanted to
between the lines. And
well, it's very intentional they did that. They have Luke giving a full speech, but yet he's clueless.
But then there's still no resolution for the viewer. So I don't know. And it kind of, now we're at the end of the season, and I'm kind of thinking about what we were talking about at the beginning of the season, where by this point, you know, the writers knew that they were on their way out. And so they're like making a statement here. And I don't know. I just wasn't a fan.
Well, that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah. Actually. I don't know. I mean, I think, okay,
never underestimate, you know, personal feelings being hurt and what the repercussions can be.
I also, so first of all, I don't know that all the writers leave, right? We know Amy and Dan leave, but a lot of the writers stay, right?
Well, and maybe it wasn't necessarily an intentional thing. Like maybe it was just unconscious and that's how it came out in the writing. But Amy and Dan wrote this episode. They both had writing credit on this episode. And I don't know.
I don't know that you're going to tank your own show, even if you can't make a deal for season 7, right? It's like,
and maybe they didn't. That's just my impression. I'm not saying, I don't know these people personally. I think they knew maybe I'm completely wrong, but that's how it feels.
And I could be totally wrong too. Like, we're just spitballing here, guys. So like, they know they've got a season 7, right? So to me, if I was planning, right? Because I'm planning right now for our season 7 and what's going to be after that. So is there a chance that if you keep them together, I'm not saying they're going to break up, but I'm just saying if you keep them together, that gives you one trajectory for season 7. If you break them up, it gives you a different trajectory. So it all may be quite intentional, everything that's happening, and not in a bad way or purposely tanking Gilmore Girls. It's just giving more. How do I say this without... I don't hate what is to come. I found it quite, oh my, wow, what is coming. So I'm interested when we get there, who likes it and hates it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's whether or not the creators consider Luke a core character to this piece or not, right? And
they do.
If you know, with Lorelai hurtling toward the bad thing, what kind of impact does that have on her character? You know what I'm saying? Does that take her character down several notches? Does
Luke's apparent
blindness take his character? I mean, is this character?
No, that's an interesting question.
So what you're asking is this willful character destruction, or is it just some kind of ham-handed way to get them to the bad thing?
Yeah, interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. You are getting married, all of you. You're all getting married, right? You're engaged, you're getting married. And suddenly you find out that your fiance realizes he has a baby, a child that he didn't know about. Would you get married on June 3rd or would you postpone the wedding?
I think it would be a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one person's decision. They would both have to.
But what would you do?
I personally would get married.
I probably would say, let's take a second. There's a lot going on right now. Let's see what's going on.
I don't know what I'd do.
I mean, because to me, and again, this is just 100% my opinion, and you don't have to agree with it. If I have this person that is my person, and I love them enough that I want to marry them, a child coming in isn't going to change my relationship with that person. Mm-hmm. They're still my person.
I agree with that part. So
that's my perspective on it, but I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. I mean, everybody would have their own.
I might postpone the wedding because of the circumstances, right? Like, this is a little, I know many people that postponed their wedding because a parent was ill, right? Yeah. And they wanted to, or they hurried up their wedding because of a parent, right? Outside circumstances impact wedding days. Does that mean it impacts the relationship? In my opinion, no, that April is not destroying the relationship with Luke. I think Lorelai is thinking it is. I don't actually think their relationship is bad just because they're postponing the wedding.
I don't either. I mean, why can't it continue to exist in this the normal state that it's in? It's, you know, they're in love, they're a functioning, solid, grounded couple that live together. So it's like, okay, so it's delayed a little
and say bit. They even want to have children. Right, I don't think putting that off for 6 more months or a year is super problematic, right?
It's not.
I don't even think it's about the wedding anymore.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, but I also think that this situation, it's not April that's the problem. It's how they're dealing with the situation with April. So it's actions that are becoming red flags. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree.
Totally. And so do you guys, the three of you, think that the relationship between Luke and Lorelai is actually not good right now?
Well, clearly it's not good. She's pulling away.
Yeah. But is it warranted? I never really saw them having problems with their relationship other than, and I get it's big, how they feel about
it. It appears that Luke isn't interested in the relationship. Like, it's like he's not nurturing the relationship anymore the way he used to.
I'm not really seeing that.
So there's he's being neglectful of that relationship. And now it's quite clear.
But is he?
Yeah.
He's putting
all his eggs are in the April basket, and there aren't a lot of eggs left for Lorelai.
Yeah, you know,
isn't that
I think Suzanne's right. There's no conversation that they've had. The onus is on him just to have that conversation with her, to start that conversation with her, and reassure her.
But yes, I agree with that. But say you have a certain bandwidth, right? He works, he runs the diner. You know, he's now discovered April. He's got things, right? So when you're in a relationship, a really good relationship like they have, as the other person, don't you say, hey, I understand I'm not the top priority right now because you've got all these other things. And that person steps up to support the person in need. Just like vice versa, Luke was really there for Lorelai when she had her issues with Rory. So what I'm asking is, and again, I'm really just asking it because I am not fully developed on my own opinion. Is their relationship really bad, or is Lorelai just not supporting Luke in his time?
Just because Luke doesn't need constant reassurance, it doesn't mean that Lorelai requires the same. She needs a little bit of reassurance. He should understand that not everybody is like him. But he doesn't need the constant doting and the reassurance. He's going to be there regardless. But, you know, not everybody's like that. Lorelai obviously needs some communication. There's no communication. Yeah. Susan's right. I've come full circle on this.
It's like their whole relationship was Luke was a different way. You know, he was the one that said, I'm all in. He was the one pursuing her, the one that was Luke was always a beacon of light in the sense that he always showed Lorelai that he's there for her.
Do you feel he's treating her badly?
I don't think he's treating her badly.
Unintentionally, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not intentional at all, but he is unintentionally pushing her to the side.
I'm not seeing that as clearly you three are. I see him treating her quite well, right? Like he's loving and communicative-ish, right? Like as he's capable of. He's not a jerk. He's not lying.
He's shutting her out of one of the big moments of his life with his child.
She's
completely shut out of that. He's not even talking about it. He's even getting a little snippy with her if she tries to bring it up. And he gave her this big speech about communication.
Right. He let her in with the birthday party thing, right? He let her come over. He let her run the birthday party. And then when Anna...
Because he was desperate.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it served his purposes.
Yeah.
And then when Anna threw a tantrum about it, then he slammed that door shut again and got pissed at Lorelai. Like,
I don't think he ever got pissed at Lorelai. I didn't read it that way. I got it as he was upset and he's so bummed and frustrated and upset, but he's not blaming Lorelai. So let me ask you guys this. Are you all in the Lorelai Luke situation, team Lorelai?
I want them both to communicate with each other. They're both messing this up now.
Okay.
But here's another aspect of this that I think he's so out of character at this point that you hardly recognize him, because where is the backbone? You know, and now I'm seeing this so clearly in this episode. Where is his backbone when Anna?
Right.
And where is his comeback? Like, wait a minute. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And you said this, you echoed this last episode. It's like, you didn't even tell me we had a child. How dare you talk to me this way?
Yeah, I agree with you.
For you, for 12 years, you know? I mean, completely saying that, and he didn't say it.
You know what, Danielle? Weird. It seems like a moment we should bring up the person that wrote to us.
Oh, yeah. So someone DM'd me, because you know how we got into a heated discussion last episode about how, like, why did Anna keep this secret away from Luke? And this person told us because she didn't know who the baby daddy was. Because remember, April had to test 3 different heirs. And
it's
so
right there in front of us.
You know, so she maybe just didn't know that Luke was the father.
I don't know.
I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, how
just
many?
It's a good speculation, though. You know, like, she was too embarrassed. She didn't know who the father was.
She could have gone to the, I mean, even if she was had, you know, another person that she was dating, or she was seeing multiple people, she could have gone to each of them. And, you know,
I never got, and like, with all due respect to whoever wrote in, I'm not like trying to be mean to them, but I never got the impression that Anna didn't know who the father was. I think Anna knew the whole time.
That's a fair point. But why would she make April go around and pick all the hair out? Why would she do that to her kid?
She didn't know April was doing it. She didn't know what April's project was.
But then how did April know that there's these 3 dads?
Because so if you go back to the episode where Luke shows up at Anna's house and he's like, why didn't you tell me? She says that she didn't know about the project and that April had gotten the names from old letters. So she put the whole thing on it. Now, maybe she was lying. I don't know. We don't have anything to indicate that.
No, right. They don't.
But she told Luke that April did this entire thing completely on her own, and she didn't know about it until after the fact. So I don't necessarily see any evidence that Anna didn't know who the dad
okay,
was.
So that makes sense. All right. So let's always trust that everyone's truthful, right? So she found boyfriend letters or whatever in Anna's box of letters or box of, you know, her hope chest, whatever. And she then goes and finds them. Whereas we are to assume that April didn't know who the dad was, but Anna always knew. Okay, fair. Yes, that, I can accept that. Okay, fine. All it right, still does not make it okay that Anna didn't. So
it makes it even
Scott's
worse.
Point
actually.
Is well, yes. Yeah, Scott's point is well taken in that you're right. Like, you should have said to her, back up.
Yeah.
Girl, you show up. You know, I'm throwing the birthday party. I'm going on the school trip. I'm doing everything you want. And my fiance saved the day. And your kid had a wonderful time. And everyone is safe and healthy and happy. And you should be sending me a muffin basket.
But I think, you know, I think Luke is a little gun shy because Anna has the power of the visitation over him. She can withdraw that at any time and he'll never see that kid again. Unless he lawyers up.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah,
which he sure could. And he will get a lot. So he will get 50-50 custody.
That explains the sheep.
Said the not lawyer. But anyway.
All right. So there we go. So,
good talk, guys. Good talk.
Yeah, nice talk. Anyway, gotta go.
It was sad to me, the blowing off. I know, just to put a button on that. That bothered me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I did not like that. That did not seem Lorelai-ish, and it was hurtful. I did not like it.
All right, so now we're noted.
Marijuana City.
Now we're in Pot Farm USA, Stars Hollow, where they grow pickle pot.
Weed the hill. And boy, did they!
And you know, that was particularly amusing. I thought. What did you guys think?
I thought it was funny.
Made Gilmore Girls seem very edgy and contemporary.
You know what I missed that came back in this episode a bit is the physical comedy, even though it was Jackson. When he bumps into that table and the two background actors are like, it was a really good bump into. There was a lot of physicality for both Jackson and Suki, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And we missed, I haven't seen that in a while. Missed it.
Yeah. Some great lines, Suki. It's the Templeton brothers. Those Templeton brothers. They listen to the Allman Brothers. We should have known. Well, people that listen to Allman Brothers always smoke grass.
Oh, God.
We're felons. I laughed out loud, the Allman Brothers. I used to listen to them all the time.
Same thing when they say, do you think Neil Young would want this? It's later, but.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah.
No, but I'm just giving you
later. This, you know. Right.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And then we have what makes there's some magic happening in Stars Hollow. It's Grant Lee Phillips.
Oh my God. And it's raining. Grant Lee it's Buffalo pouring.
Doing a cover of that Simon and Garfunkel song.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
And it's just, there you go. The magic of Gilmore on full display.
And the magic of background actors freaking nailing it. That was a long scene with him and a lot of background actors with umbrellas. In the rain, crashing into their umbrellas.
Don't understand how hard it is to walk through a rain with an umbrella. It's just
their umbrellas difficult. Multiple times crashed into that tree.
Yeah,
and they just kept going. And there were a lot of them going. And then it continues when you go into the diner, and the rain is still in the background.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Really, great performance by Rain.
Yeah. To nominate Rain.
Great performance.
Fantastic. Yeah. Nature. Nature.
Dominating the rain.
Really stole those scenes.
It did.
So now we're in Luke's diner and Kirk's sitting there kind of bragging about his beard. Got a little stubble. Some's grown in.
And Luke is in perfect Luke form. Like, can you just order? Bro?
Right. Like, right. And then
I was happy with all of it.
Liz comes in all beaming and happy, announces she's pregnant, gives it away. It was surprised that Luke figured it out. So TJ's gone. He's left. And Luke gets pissed. So he gets all brotherly. So he's going to defend his sister. He's going to seek TJ out and open up a can of whoop ass, maybe two.
Come what may.
She's in her come what may stage. Just come what may. All right, so now we're at Logan's apartment. Paris and Doyle are babysitting Logan, which is actually very funny.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah, really fast. So I can't take credit for this because it's in one of my Gilmore books, but there's an episode where Liz reveals in season 4 that her boyfriend was the garbage collector, but also has the marijuana something. Yeah,
he's the one that sold her the pot.
Yeah. So technically there's a theory in the book, and I will give credit to the Gilmore Girls companion book for this note. Suki and Jackson could have just tossed the marijuana and had no repercussions because the garbage collector his side hustle is marijuana. Just calling it out. Good, great knowledge by the companion book on that.
So, thank you for that. And so now Logan's trying to get out of bed and Paris is not allowing it.
Oh my God.
Through Rory's instructions.
It was actually funny.
Yeah, and there's the, what is it? The penguins? What's the penguin?
The penguin movie. Wasn't that how I learned that penguins, they don't mate for life, but they mate for season. They like mate and then they have a baby. It was that the March of the Penguins.
March of the Penguins.
They probably couldn't say it because they call it the penguin movie.
Right.
Oh my God. Penguins are it. Also, Tupperware is a bedpan. It's not a bad call.
And Logan just wants to move around. They don't want him to. So does Paris call Rory and say, hey, what's up with this guy?
No, I think Rory calls to check in on Logan, or Logan calls Rory to be like, you got to get these two crazies off of me.
Logan calls Rory.
Right.
Doyle cracks me up in this scene.
Mm. Yeah.
I love them together.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Paris and Doyle. They're hilarious every time.
Totally. And she's studying for the MCAT or whatever. And she says all the parts of the
people. They gave Paris the perfect companion, like casting wise, the actor, but also the character.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, and he's gone on to be legit Doyle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then Rory calls from the from Yale Daily News newsroom. So he's trying to present Rory with an editorial piece in the from the Wall Street Journal.
They left me hanging there. I was like, what?
We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But then we find out what it is. And Mitchum is quoted in this article as taking credit for a couple of people's careers. And he mentions Rory Gilmore out of the blue and says, I gave her break at the Hartford Gazette. And then she went on to be the editor of the Yale Daily News, which I gather is a very lofty perch in the journalism world, because if you come out of there, you're gonna do pretty well in the world of journalism.
Do you feel like she should have been as like bent by Mitchum as she is?
That was a little over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. That might be the one chink right there.
I didn't mind it with Logan. I thought that part was good. It was when she called the paper. I'm like,
that was really so ridiculous. Like,
you seem cray.
Right.
Like, as a journalist herself, right, you know this. Like, you don't do that. There was nothing in that article that wasn't factual, just because she was, you know, upset by it, because she has kind of this knee-jerk reaction to Mitchum. It has nothing to do with the article itself. I don't know. I just didn't get.
Yeah, well, at least she got something out of the unpleasant encounter with Mitchum.
True.
Right? You know? And maybe that was his sort of backhanded way of making amends somehow, right? In his twisted soul. All right, now we're back at the Dragonfly Inn, and Michelle is really kicking in with the over-the-top calisthenics, using the luggage cart.
Oh my God!
Chin-up bar and all. I mean, it was just that was particularly over the top, wasn't it? But it's still funny. It made me chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Emily calls.
Oh my God,
Lorelai, and we find out she's that the LASIK surgery did not go well. But Lorelai doesn't know about this because Richard apparently did not tell her.
It's all so classic and great.
I had a red flag on this though, because.
Sure.
If she had surgery and it didn't go well, I can't imagine Richard flying off to South Dakota. He would have been like, no, find somebody else to do this business trip, because
my wife is having a medical crisis. I need to be with her.
I felt like it all happened at the same time.
Is that in fact what happened, or did he leave the day of the surgery?
Well, but why would he do that? Like, that didn't make sense.
Because it's not a LASIK surgery.
Right. Like, it's like kind of like a trip to the dentist. Right. Maybe it's like
if I had LASIK surgery, I would make my husband be the one that like takes me and picks me up.
They also have a lot of help at the house. He's probably like, somebody's going to help her.
He's got a big account to settle in South Dakota.
And most of the time, don't you get LASIK and then you just like cruise home and you're good?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think it went awry, but I'm not mad at Richard.
I'll let you know. I'm pretty much almost there.
No way you're going to do it?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I want to, but I'm just too scared.
Why? Have you heard bad things?
No, I just...
Lasers at your eyeballs.
Contacts. I don't mind wearing contacts all the time. Mm. So it's kind of like whatever. It's like
I will say, side note, my mom had cataract surgery and she doesn't even need her glasses anymore.
Really?
It's crazy.
And that's LASIK? Now, that's LASIK?
No, it's full cataract. They like, I don't know what they do to you. Speaking of a lot of on the caregiver, I had to drive her like 12 times. You have to go there and back and a checkup the next day and then the next day and the next day. That being said, she literally had to have glasses and couldn't really see. And now she doesn't even wear glasses.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's like crazy town how well it works.
Mm-hmm. So, right, so now
brought
she's...
to you by cataract surgery. Right.
So Richard's bagging on South Dakota says...
Now, it did not look like he was in a motel in South Dakota. Looked like he was on set with the same rain in the background. Just saying.
Really?
Yeah.
He said this hotel smells like a foot.
I laughed out loud.
That was good.
Right. Yeah, because I know that smell. Not great. It's like rotten cheese.
So now we're back with Suki and Jackson staring at their bags of marijuana.
Oh my God.
And they have to wait for dark.
Oh my God.
To move
and the house
the
is
product,
starting to smell.
To move the contraband, if you will. And yeah, the house is starting to stink.
It's so good.
All right, now we're back at Logan's apartment. And they talk about, you know, Logan calms her down about Mitchum taking credit for the article. Realize that it's a boon for your career.
Yeah.
Don't overreact. This is, you know, it turned out very well.
Mm-hmm. That scene I liked. I'm liking them right now.
Suzanne, you didn't like this scene, did you?
I thought this scene was okay. Rory had this one weird long chunk of dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was way over the top about the obituaries, and I memorized all his kids 5 months.
That was stupid.
She would not have said all that. I thought that was silly. But other than that, I thought that was a good scene. Mm-hmm. I approve.
All right, now we're at Emily's, and she is sprawled out on the sofa with sunglasses on.
In the dark.
In the dark. But it was very well lit in the dark.
Yes.
And Lorelai comes in, refers to her as Mrs. Onassis. Yes. Mentions Dr. Mengele. And we get Onassis, Dr. Mengele, and Marcus Welby, MD, all in one paragraph. And then cab drivers in Prague. Do you know about them? This is what I'm talking about. The combination of pop culture references in here is staggering. You go from Mrs. Onassis, Dr. Mengele, Marcus Welby, MD, to cab drivers in Prague.
And I believe it's the second time cab drivers have been mentioned.
Is that right? Who else writes like that? Nobody else writes
Prague
like
cab
this.
Drivers got mentioned in season one also.
Did they really?
Yep. Also stolen from the Gilmore Girls Companion Guide. It's a great book, guys. Great book.
So now she's pulling off her whole diva routine, feel sorry for me. You're going to have to take me to...
On all her errands. And I love Laura. Like, can I just do the errands? Because that's literally what I would have said. Can I just do them? I'd be so happy to do them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the taking of the mom on the errands.
Yeah.
So, do you want to hear my red flag on this scene?
Go ahead.
And this actually, I didn't even catch this, but my husband pointed this one out.
John.
I'll tell him. Call him that, please. We've all met him too, and we like him a lot, by the way.
Yeah.
So he pointed out that according to the dialogue, the doctor only operated on the one eye because he wanted to see how that one healed before he did the other one. So how is she blind if they didn't even operate on
right, one eye would work. You know, I don't know that she's blind, though. I feel like she's having great sensitivity to light.
In that one
eye.
You
can obviously sort of see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. The way they
hence the glasses and the hat.
She's so helpless, and she said she was blind for 48 hours or something like that.
Right.
You'd think you would just wear an eye patch so that you can...
Right, she could wear a patch. And then, yeah. Although a patch is tough.
I mean, maybe it was
patch
just...
Patch is tough.
It's just part of the whole... That's a good flag.
Good flag, yeah. Good flag.
Yeah.
But also then I wouldn't get all these great scenes of Lorelai driving that ginormous SUV.
Right. And they talk about it. She doesn't Jay-Z's Emily doesn't want to go in the Jeep, so she wants to go in the car.
Jay-Z. I wouldn't want to go in the Jeep either. Yeah. So bouncy. I'm not a fan of those Wranglers.
Bulletproof.
Not comfortable.
Those. Yeah. We get mentions of Mia Farrow, Broadway Danny Rose, and Sarah Bernhardt. So they were flying. The pop culture references were flying.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a serious pop culture episode this week.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
All right, now you got a bar scene. Luke,
I love this.
Oh my god!
Storms into the bar because he wants to take a little chunk out of TJ.
And this was a good scene, although the speech is fascinating. The Luke speech,
yeah.
And I'm glad
that
TJ's,
was annoying.
I'm glad we didn't have again what I call Three's Company episode. Like we didn't have to. We got right to the fact that TJ's like.
Luke Dane's psychologist.
Yeah, we got quickly to the meat of it, is that which we knew Liz kicked him out. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad he explained that real clearly, real fast in TJ's.
Yeah,
way.
I loved how TJ was. He had no idea why Luke was so mad, but he's basically like, "Okay, hit me. Go ahead." Like he was like, "Okay, I'll just let you hit me." Like he didn't want to fight. He was just going to let Luke hit him. I don't know. I thought TJ.
But he was so concerned about the bar owner's rules. Like, don't burn down the house and no fights inside.
Is there anything else, Suzanne, you feel you need to say about Luke's speech that did trigger me? I definitely was like, this is a long speech for a guy
that's not aware of what's coming from Luke.
Yeah, really right. Happening. Exactly, Danielle. Like, I wanted to grab Luke by the shoulders and shake him and be like, do you hear yourself right now? Yeah. Like, apply this to your own life. It was so.
But can we discuss that? Why is that? Like, why is it that he is so oblivious. Is he oblivious or is he just...
Yeah, because he's so caught up in... Well, he's not oblivious. He's so caught up in the fact that he just found out he has a child.
He's oblivious to Laurel.
I will give him that a little bit.
Well, he is caught up in the whole child thing, but he is completely oblivious to Lorelai's feelings.
Yes.
I have no explanation for that.
He makes good pancakes, though.
He does make good pancakes. Probably a good tuna melt, too.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. All right, so now we're driving with Lorelai and Emily.
Amazing.
And she's doing about 5 miles an hour.
Seriously.
and that entire... And
Emily knew where the exit was, which is why I don't think she's blind.
Right.
Because she goes, you're going to miss the exit. Like, you wouldn't know that if you couldn't see.
And that entire scene was looped.
And maybe this was Emily's... Oh,
thank you for that note, Scott. Yeah, it was looped. I have to rewatch. It didn't bother me, because sometimes looping does.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a little...
Echoing. Maybe they had bad audio in that SUV.
Well, yeah, it always happens when you're on location. And then, you know... They talk about Chris's short hair and how Emily thinks that it makes him kind of look like a convict or a masseuse. Well, either or. And then Emily starts in with her sort of her manipulation.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know,
her manipulations. Talk about Emily's manipulations.
I just didn't quite understand why Emily is suddenly so concerned about Christopher's love life.
Like, well, especially because of the end. Right.
Because she wants, she's trying to get these two back together.
But she isn't, which sure she is. I would have thought that too. But she isn't, because what she's doing is buying a house for Lorelai and Luke. So,
right.
So maybe she's just messing with her?
Well, I think it's just a bait and switch to the audience, personally. Yeah. As like, you know, that's to me where the writers were going. We're going to dupe the audience here, right? It sweeps. We're coming towards the end of the season. The whole episode, the audience is going to think that she's trying to get her back with Christopher, which we all are already in on the trouble.
She's just messing with her.
And then we get to the house, and which is such a kind gesture, but I digress.
Yeah, I agree. Big gesture. 3 acres, yeah. A pond. Nice.
And Lorelai's like, so moved by it, and
mm-hmm.
We get the moment of,
you know, it just didn't track for me with it. This whole, like, yes, it's a grand and awesome gesture to buy them a house, but Emily was just at their house and saw that they renovated it, and that she even complimented Lorelai, saying that this is a homey house, like, I can really see you here. So why would she then buy her a new house?
Because she said that Luke wants, you know, he's a man. He wants acreage and he wants a space.
And she wants her to have horses. And you're not going to let me throw you a wedding.
Right.
So let me give you this house. Yeah. I think it's like, you live in a nice house right now, but wouldn't you want a bigger house if someone's going to buy it for you? I would take it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So is this where I should talk about what I think the ulterior motive is, or do we want to talk about the other scenes?
No, talk about that.
No, talk about it. Let it out.
No, let it out.
Okay. So now this...
Don't carry that around, sister.
This may be completely wacky, and probably a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I think that the house, I think it's a nice gesture. Let me say that first of all. I thought it was very thoughtful that she want, you know, Emily thinks Luke should have his own place and they want to have horses and, you know, they can make it a Stars Hollow address. I did think it was a nice gesture. But the way in my brain is tying it back to the very beginning of the episode when they were saying how, you know, we had lunch with Christopher and we're not mad at him anymore about paying for Yale and blah, blah, blah. Because they figured out a different way to manipulate Lorelai financially. So if they buy this house for her, that is yet another way that they will have something hanging over her that they can use to manipulate her.
But don't you think they would have done that anyway if their relationship had never gone awry?
No.
I think if they were close, they would have done the same thing had she been in some kind of a situation where whoever she married wasn't doing well enough to do that. Then because they were having a good relationship and there was never a falling out, the Gilmores would have done this anyway.
I think they're trying to do something nice. Now,
I think they're trying to do something nice, but it just conveniently also benefits them.
Well, yeah. Emily is always looking for a way to be more connected to Lorelai and Rory, right? So I think it's a super nice gesture. It's super, like, there's a lot of heart to it, right? Because of where they did it and that she picked the house that Lorelai would like. She did not mm-hmm. pick the house she would like.
Right.
And yes, if it connects them to her, that's sort of a cherry on top, I think, for her.
Yeah. I just think that that was why they were so ready to let go of the whole, you know, Christopher paying for Yale thing and like, oh, we're not mad about it anymore because we figured out this other plan. Like, they didn't say that part out loud, but mm-hmm. that's kind of in my head
right
where they were going with it, because I can just hear, you know, at some point in the future, I can hear Emily's voice when the next time Lorelai pisses her off, and, you know, I can hear Emily saying, you know, after we bought that house for you, I can't believe you would say that. Like, I can totally hear that happen. Yeah. At some point in the future, and that would be used in that way. And another thing too that I caught when Emily was saying, you know, something about how she knows that it's going to take Luke some time to get used to the idea because it is such an extravagant gift. And she says something about, I've concocted a few lies that we can tell him for his own good. Like, she can never not be devious. She's already figuring out, how are we going to lie to Luke about this house?
Mm.
Which just annoyed me. I don't know. I just didn't think it was purely a gesture of love. I think it was mm-hmm. calculated to benefit them.
And didn't really take Luke's feelings into consideration at all.
Right. I mean, like, a zebra doesn't change their stripes. She's still right, always going to be how she is, but I still was like, not mad about it.
Yeah. Just get the house.
And it was like, oh, poor Lorelai.
Get the 3 acres. Get the 3. Uh-huh. And it begat one of the funniest lines in the whole episode. He says, you didn't really think we were shopping for a house.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to live the kind of place where a neighbor would come over with a pie and want to chit chat.
What scenes did we skip? Because I know we skipped the scene of Suki and Jackson getting rid of the marijuana when they bump into the troubadour. And
no,
they
we didn't skip anything yet. We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Okay, that's right. So we went ahead with Suzanne's thoughts. Okay, pardon me.
We're not ready to ride in the sunset.
Yeah, okay. So we allowed Suzanne the moment to give her.
Yeah, we skipped where she calls the paper. She calls the Wall Street Journal, but we talked about that earlier.
No, we didn't skip anything. We just gave you
your moment.
Yeah. Gosh.
Scott didn't want you to have to hold on to that any longer.
I appreciate
it. No, I unburden yourself, sister.
Yeah. Okay, so keep going, Scott.
All right, so now we have a request coming from Rory to the Wall Street Journal writer to retract.
I mean,
edit out, change what was said by Mitchum Huntsberger in that article, and I think it gave birth to one of the silliest scenes, according to Suzanne. You wanna opine on this scene?
Well, I kind of already did. I just didn't. I think as a journalist, Rory would have known that the Wall Street Journal is not going to publish a correction.
I mean,
on this.
A correction of what, too?
Right, like, exactly. I don't know. And it's, again, just part of that melodramatic tone of this episode that I wasn't buying.
And if you're at the Yale Daily News, you're going to pick up a phone and give somebody at the Wall Street Journal the business?
I mean it's so exactly. crazy. It's
you
so crazy.
Mean? Yeah.
Like, don't it was just bridge,
crazy.
You know?
All right. So now we're at Luke's and Liz is having a meeting with her.
Oh, yeah.
An encounter group about single mothers.
It reminded me of that scene in Jerry Maguire when all those ladies are sitting around with Bonnie Hunt.
Right.
I'm like, oh, my God.
And Luke comes in and says, Liz, I want to talk to you. And they talk and he lets her know that he knows what really happened. And there's TJ waiting outside.
Oh, I love TJ. Yeah.
Without a jacket.
Yeah. And he gets them back together. Isn't that nice? And now we're at with Lorelai and Emily once again. And she's taking her to the real estate office, and Lorelai wants to know why she doesn't. And this is the scene we talked about with the house. And
I guess we talked about this.
Lorelai says the wedding isn't happening.
Yeah,
that's the big takeaway from this. Mm-hmm.
Right, leading us up to the finale of the season.
Did that seem a little out of left field for anybody? Or
yes, I think that it's extreme that she thinks they're like not going to make it. Like, life is hard, right? And if you're going to marry somebody, you're going to have ups and downs. So that's where I'm at on it. Like,
mm-hmm. I kind of took it the opposite. Like
5 minutes. Chill.
I'm kind of like, finally, somebody's acknowledging this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's how
I was more relieved. I'm like,
get it. I don't see it not happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
I could have used one sort of botched attempt at communication that didn't go well, and they get into a little mini fight about it or whatever, and then they're not speaking. I mean, I could have used a little fireworks to make me buy into this more.
I just don't see their relationship being as disastrous as you guys.
Right.
And I guess I might be wrong, but I just don't see it being
I don't either. I don't see, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but we haven't seen it played out.
Correct. It's like,
we don't have enough inserts or scenes of, like, there's one scene of Luke in bed and the kids are downstairs after the field trip, and he has a moment of reflection and he stares at the ceiling because he's alone. He's thinking about Lorelai and am I blowing this or whatever? I don't know. But there just needs to be more of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know? I've seen many a show where relationships are terrible and this one isn't it.
Right.
So I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
It isn't terrible, but there's also, it's not right either.
But if it's not set up well, it comes off like melodrama, and that's why it came off like melodrama. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It seems kind of out of the blue and we're not going to make it, Mom.
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Right.
You know, we needed it anyway. You know, if you want to make a meal out of it, you better prepare the food.
Yeah.
All right. So now we've got Suki and Jackson hustling the bags of marijuana around the gazebo. And they run
You mean the pickles?
Oh, yeah. You know what I always forget in my mind, even though I just watched it yesterday, right? In my mind, that's the end of the episode. But it isn't. Just like Gilmore Girls, there's always a little bit more. Okay.
So they run into Grantley Buffalo.
Oh, my God.
And he's got great news. And for a street musician, a local street musician, to say something like, hey, you're not going to believe this. Somebody, a promoter, ran into me on the street and said, hey, you want to open a couple of dates for Neil Young? I mean, that is like, you know, that's like lightning hitting you. It's just fantastic. And they just go, yeah, great. We got to go.
Don't even care, right?
They don't care. Then they hit the rabbi and the priest are there and they talking about some things and feelings and philosophies. You guys want to talk a little bit? No, we got to go. Boom. So this was maybe my favorite scene out of the whole thing. And then here we are. Lorelai arrives at Suki and Jackson's place. And she is in a state.
Yeah, which I like that she went there. I liked that.
She's in a state. She needs to talk, or she just needs to be around her friend. And it ends with her saying, what's that smell?
That was good.
And how many pounds of marijuana did Suki say it was?
60-something, yeah.
68. I thought she said 68 pounds of marijuana. That's what 68 pounds of marijuana
is. A lot.
All right, so what are we giving it, kids? Danielle?
I'm going to give it 8.75 pickles, bags of pickles.
Gotcha. Suzanne?
I don't know. I have to continue the trend because these are not good episodes for me. I'm going to give it 7.
Oof.
And I am struggling to even give it that much. But I'm going to give it 7 pairs of dark glasses.
7 pairs of dark glasses. Amy.
9. Michelle doing a lot of moves. Calisthenics, aerobics, dancing.
Reps. Just call them reps.
Yeah, all of it.
I'm going to, now that we've discussed it and more fertile minds than I have pointed out some obvious flaws, I'm going to go below 9. I think I was going to give it a high 9, but I think I'm going to go 8.9999.
Okay.
Okay, almost a 9. You know, you could round it to a 9, but I did enjoy the episode. I laughed quite a bit. Yeah. I enjoyed the jokes. I mean, the jokes were great. But yeah, no, I see everybody's point here. So that's going to be 8.99999er crutches. Logan crutches.
Oh, good one.
There you go. All right. So are we doing favorite lines? What's your favorite line?
My favorite line was when they were at the real estate office and the lady asks Lorelai if she needs an aspirin for her headache. And Lorelai says, no, I've had the headache for 38 years.
Yeah. I thought that was very funny. I liked that whole scene. I don't have a favorite line, but I really liked that whole, everything about that whole scene.
I liked Emily's line when she says, you didn't think we were going to buy a house in Stars Hollow. I'd be terrified if David would stop by with a pie and have a chat. I'd kill myself.
I was pretty into Kirk's beard. Kirk's beard.
Anyway, that is going to wrap it up, kids. The finale is next time.
Wow.
Ooh, season crazy. 6, episode 22, end of season 6, and the name of it escapes me right now. I think it's The Bad Thing.
Next episode is it called Partings? Is that Partings. The one? Yeah, Partings, you're right.
Yep. Partings.
Wow.
Pardines. Pardines. Okay. So we'll see you next time, kids. Next episode, season 6, the finale, episode 22, Partings.
Or partings. He's saying that because our producer had a
spell it any way you want it. You can spell like signs or anything. It doesn't matter. We know what we mean, and we mean what we know. Best fans on the planet, thanks for the downloads. Keep them coming, and we will see you next time. Stay safe. Forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.